Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. You may be seated. Happy Easter to you all. It is great to see so many of you here today. I think it's amazing that we as Christians gather together on this day, millions of Christians around the world celebrating today God's victory over sin and death. We give thanks today that God has come into our life and has shown His light, that we are reclaiming that salvation for ourselves and going out from here and proclaiming His gospel message to the world. You know, Easter has no meaning at all apart from Good Friday, apart from the horrible death of Jesus hanging on a cross. Nor, dare I say, does it have any meaning to us as individuals if we don't come to that place of being intimately aware of our own sin and brokenness and death. Death is a terrible thing indeed. It's a terrible end until it has been redeemed by faith in Christ. You see, Christ alone is the conquering of death. It's our faith in Him that transforms death to life and changes everything in our life from here on out. We are Easter people, and we live a life of faith in Christ, Christ alone. I don't know if you've ever wondered, but I wonder, why didn't the risen Lord, He showed up to all these people, why didn't He go back to Pontius Pilate or to Caiaphas or to those who held the mock trial and, you know, placed Him on that cross? Why didn't He appear to them and say, I'm back, you turkeys, you thought you could kill me? He didn't. He didn't either go to some impartial world authority, you know, who could arbitrate, who could convince the world that He was God. He didn't set the record straight. Instead, He appeared to His followers. He appeared to those who had put their faith and their trust in Him. I think it's because He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to proclaim Him so that others may come to that place of knowing. He didn't coerce this faith. He doesn't force this upon us. We have to willingly accept it and walk in it day in and day out. That's the way that God's salvation has entered into this world, by faith, and by sharing that faith with others, and by blessing others. You know, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is every bit as profound as Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. The resurrection is a new Genesis creation story. God has created something completely new out of nothing. And because Jesus has risen from the dead, this new creation has begun. And it is growing and expanding, is being shared and lived, is being offered to this world. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, our lives are no longer defined by the scourge of death. Because Jesus is alive, God has a very important job for each one of us, for you and I. And that job is to bring this new life into the world. You see, salvation is really not about the individual. It's not about us just getting our little bit of salvation and being okay. It's really about the community of faith. It's about a community. It's about that living body of Christ. You see, when you and I are baptized, we are making an individual claim. We're asking God for His grace and forgiveness for this new life that He offers. But that's an individual decision that joins us to the body of Christ, joins us to the community of faith, something much, much bigger than ourselves. And in it, we are buried with Christ in His death. And by it, we are raised with Him in His resurrection to a new life. And Paul said it in that Colossians reading that was just read. He says, if you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts and minds on the things of Christ, not on your mortal bodies, which are wasting away, not on your earthly nature, because you've already died, and your life is hidden in Him. It's hidden in the body of Christ, the community of the faithful. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Don't you see that this salvation that's offered in Jesus is us being joined together as members of something much, much bigger, a community? Your death has already happened, and your life is hidden in Christ right now. This eternal life that begins and goes on, it's already happening. It's already there. Death has no hold, no power anymore over you who are in Christ Jesus. You are free to live your life for Him as it was intended in the beginning. Of course, as individuals, we're not perfect. We claim not to be perfect. But we claim day in and day out to seek after the life that is real life, that life that is offered in Christ. We don't do it perfectly. We don't claim to. But we seek to live counter to the powers of this world. We seek to love. We seek to be compassionate and generous and forgiving and hospitable. We seek to be salt and light, God's active agents, dispensing His grace, shining His light into the darkness of our world. This is the way God's salvation has been offered, and this is the way it is furthered. And you and I, we're encouraged not only to live into it, but to participate in sharing it. The gospel message, the Christian life, it's not something that we can do on the sideline. It's not something that we can sit back and be spectators. We've got to suit up and we've got to be in the game. We can't do it in our minds. It's not a theory. It's not a good idea. It's not something to be pondered. It's real life. It's blood, sweat, and tears. It's our actions. Either this faith of ours is worth everything that we have, or it's worth nothing at all. That is basically the decision that we each have to make. It can't just be a sometimes kind of thing. It can't be just lukewarm. The only way that we are going to experience this life that Christ has for each one of us is to stay in that close walk with Him, in that personal relationship with Him, offering Him ourselves, our souls and bodies, offering Him our time, our children, our relationships, offering Him our mortal bodies that are failing, offering Him our work, our joys, our broken dreams and our sorrows. If we don't give it all to Him, where does it begin and where does it end? When do we give it and when do we take it back? Who's in charge of that? Our relationship with God has got to be the foundation of our lives. It's got to be the thing that orders everything else about what we do. We need a solid foundation by which to live. It's like the cantus firmus of a piece of music where all other parts refer to it and everything is held together by it. This is the real practical faith that we have been invited into, one that informs all of our lives, all of our relationships, all of our dealings. We say in the Eucharistic prayer, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And that's the miracle that we claim, that Jesus is alive, that He's with us right now, here today, and that He comes again and again, each and every day, as we call upon His name, as we pick ourselves up again in our weakness and brokenness and put our faith in Him. He is mighty to save and strong to carry us to the end. He comes again in every act of love. He comes again in every deed we do in His name. He comes as we seek justice and mercy, as we make peace and seek reconciliation, as we resist the devil, as we resist the evil one, as we seek true freedom, God is with us. It doesn't take much to look around the world and see that the world needs redemption. The world needs redemption. And that God is redeeming it. He is redeeming it one person at a time. He's redeeming it through your faith, by the way you choose to live, by the way we choose to love, by the way we choose to give. We have an extremely important role to play in God's redemption of this world. So may God's kingdom come through each one of us as we seek to live faithfully to Him on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.